You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel teaming up on this edition, looking ahead to Tuesday's action, recording this around about 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Aspel. How are you?
How are you? Well?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Now, you're riding tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, 8:45 tomorrow night at Leicester.
Just the one ride?
Yeah.
Does it have a chance?
Would have a chance. I mean, they're forecast a bit of rain down there, which I would hope it would arrive. That would certainly help my chance, but not a very strong race, and he hasn't got an awful lot of weight on his back, so yeah, any rain would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, that's Paddy's Rock in the 8:45 from Leicester tomorrow. As you said, not the strongest race, although that said, on recent form, Paddy's Rock maybe deserves a rating of slightly higher than 47.
Yeah, he's been doing okay. He was fourth. I was second in the race up at Hamilton last time. So he's not doing an awful lot wrong. But, you know, he's the type of horse. He's been well handicapped now for a while, if you get my drift. So
yeah.
We'd like him to pop up somewhere soon. And hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later.
Okay, well, best of luck with that. Thanks. We're not going to focus on any of the action at Leicester. We're going to turn our attention to two at Beverley, one at Brighton, and one at Newton Abbott as well. On Tuesday, we'll start as ever with Tuesday's Racing Podcast by the Monday Jury, stolen from the Racing Post. Now, the Monday Jury, Paddy, is fairly broad this week in that, they're basically just reviewing Ascot and taking bits and pieces from that. We'll focus on a few of the questions. We're not going to go through all six as such. The first question is, favourite memories from Royal Ascot 2017. I suppose there's plenty to choose from, I suppose, but there'll be two or three that stick in most people's mind, and that is Caravaggio's win, mm-hmm. Big Orange's win, and that's probably the two main ones, if you like, from what was a cracking week at Ascot. Certainly one of the most enjoyable Ascot meetings that I can remember.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I mentioned it yesterday when I was in studio. I just thought Alex, the ITV coverage was phenomenal.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was phenomenal, yeah. I thought they did a really good job. And I can't say I'm keen on all the presenters they have, mm-hmm. or the panel they have, should I say.
Yep.
But in a whole, I thought it was brilliant the way it was put together. And I think it's just going to go from strength to strength. And I mean, look, Royal Ascot is the flat race and Olympics anyway, so it's a big event, but I did think it was massively enhanced by the great coverage that it received, and plus I think it was a week where it was a 50-50 battle, bookies and punters.
Yep.
I thought there was one day in particular there the bookies had an absolute dreamboat of a day, and it varied because we had draw biases, didn't we? But I think that faded out a little bit later in the week. They were winning the other side then, but it was really just up the middle that you didn't want to be drawn. But fantastic. And I thought, you know, it was very, very enjoyable week and nothing but good memories from it, really.
The second and third questions are talking about the three-year-old sprinters against their elders, and then similarly the milers. In terms of the three-year-olds, there's some crackingly exciting types there. Not that the old guard have done much wrong, but at the same time, you'd imagine that this fresh wave of three-year-olds, they do look just that notch better, don't they?
They do. I think it's sort of, there's two departments really in the older category. Around the miler department, it's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas just, you know, 6-7 furlongs, the three-year-olds look to be sort of miles ahead, really.
Yeah.
You know, and So I think there is a big gap there. But I thought the three-year-olds done well against the older horses. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the three-year-olds taking on the older horses, because I know at certain times of the year it's more difficult than mm-hmm. other times of the year. But it generally tends to balance itself out. And you know, a real good early season three-year-olds can turn out to be maybe not as good. But it's the ones later in the year that are holding their own that tend to sort of be the better types of three-year-olds, really.
And in terms of moving on from Ascot, if you like, the classic winners potentially that have come from that meeting, was there one in particular that caught your eye in terms of what, in the Monday jury, answers ranging from Alpha Centauri, who, of course, didn't win, but still ran well, September. There wasn't one absolute standout performance, was there? If you go back in recent years, Lady Aurelia was so impressive last year.
Yeah, blew
them
away. Yeah.
Very impressive this year.
Mm. And at cracking price.
Yeah, I know.
Cracking price.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's one of those things that if you're looking for a standout performer, even one that's going to be underpriced next time out, there isn't one that you could go, ah, right, that was absolutely incredible. Alpha Centauri was seen by a lot of people as a good thing, yeah. Was beaten, but at the same time, long term, that's probably done her some good. I know that sounds silly, but she ran a very, very good race. Yet at the same time, connections aren't going to get too carried away. And crucially for punters, she might be fairly backable next time out in a race that, if she had gone on to win the Albany, she'd be massively odds on for.
Yeah, and penalised.
Yeah,
you know, and penalised. So really, and some shrewd judges straight away flagged it up to say, you know, she was. Or it was the best horse in the race, and a horse that I mentioned as well. I had two fancies for the week. LVIP was disappointing in the Royal Hunt Cup, but my other one, which I also thought was unlucky, I won't say be on the wrong side, because theoretically earlier in the week he was on the right. He was on the right side. He was drawn stand side, but Declan Carroll Santry.
Oh yeah,
he didn't have enough horses with enough ability his side. Whereas the Aidan O'Brien horse was a very, very good horse, but unfortunately he was on the other side.
Yeah,
and he was helped a little bit further up the track, whereas Santry didn't have the... I'm not going to say he was unlucky that he was hampered. He didn't get a completely clean run through. He was out in enough time to go and win the race.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, he didn't have enough competition his side to push him to the line as the O'Brien horse the other side. I think he's a fantastic two-year-old. I was very impressed with him at York, and I was disappointed that a small team, although the Northern Yards did better a bit later in the week, I was disappointed for Declan Carroll that he wasn't going home with a big Royal Ascot winner next to his name, because in different circumstances, I felt he could have.
Well, it's interesting, because with these sort of... Well, with horses from smaller yards, you're almost waiting for the bubble to burst, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So they win once, and you go, oh, okay. Looks smart, but at the same time, you know, he's going off a big enough price next time.
Yeah.
And then Santry went and won at York, and you're thinking, oh, okay. But then to continue that form, and that was a cracking run.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you go, oh, right, this horse genuinely could be pretty top class. It's not just a flash in the pan. It's not early two-year-old speed.
Mm-hmm.
That horse has got one heck of a lot of ability.
You know, he's an awful lot of ability. And, you know, it was just interesting that Jim Crowley was keen to ride him up at York on his second run, because, I mean, yeah, he hails from a small stable, unfashionable or whatever, but he was a real good-looking, quality horse.
Mm.
And Declan Carroll has had some two-year-old winners and early two-year-old winners this year. So he had a good gauge to see what exactly he had on his hands with Santry. And he made no bones about it. He never dressed the horse up and said he was this, he was that. He just said he was a decent horse.
And, yeah.
You know, and he was justified in what he said. And like I said, maybe in different circumstances last week, he could have gone home with a good Royal Ascot winner on his hands there. But look, like I've said, he's there too now. And they've got, for me, a potential unpenalised Royal Ascot winner,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On their hands. I'm just wish in another sense he would have won for them, because I'm sure since York, I bet the phone has stopped ringing. I bet I bet they've turned down a lot of money for him.
Yeah.
Because they had this Royal Ascot dream, and it was for long-standing owners of Declan's as well. And it was just a big dream, and they went with it. And unfortunately, it didn't just quite come off. But they, I'd say that they're just they've got a big pot in waiting with them.
Yes.
And I hope they do, because it'd be fully deserved.
Absolutely. One final question from the Monday, Joe. We're not going to look ahead to next weekend's racing just yet, although we do have the Irish Derby in the Northumberland Plate. But make sure you tune into the racing podcast through the course of the week, because I'm sure that will be covered in plenty of detail. Just, there's a question. Give us one or two from handicaps that caught your eye. I'm going to take that question and spin it slightly. There's one horse that I want to focus on. That's Atty Purse, who was visually very, very impressive when landing the King George V. That is a race that has thrown up some nice types in the past. I remember Brown Panther actually winning that not too long ago. But Atty Purse, I don't want to say the real deal, because at the end of the day, that was a handicap. It wasn't a top-quality race on paper. But I was really taken by exactly what that horse did through the race, and obviously a massive one for Kieran Schumacher.
Yeah, I mean, when we say it wasn't a top quality, it was. It just wasn't a graded race,
basically,
you know.
Yeah.
Because he was asked, Roger Charlton was asked minutes before the race if he thought he was a group level horse, and he said, well, no, he's not, because he's running in a handicap.
Yeah.
No, he said, no, he's not yet.
Yeah.
Because he's still running in handicaps. So we'll have to wait and see. I thought it was a fantastic answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, the horse was still in a handicap, and he had to progress to that level. But he kicked that question out of the park by, you know, in no uncertain terms. Because over that trip, on paper, you'd have said, God, he's got an awful draw.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of the time, you've got to look at it this way as well. He's out there. Whatever about, he had an awful draw if it was a mile and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But over that trip, mile and a half, you're out there, you've got room.
Well, I think Rory Delaghi, previous to Royal Ascot starting, that the outside draws in those kind of races win more often than they don't, to be honest. I'm not surprised. Because they are unconsidered, if you like, or not unconsidered, because of course Atty Purse was well fancied, but people will put a line through them in effect, or at least a pencil through them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dangerous to do so, because if you are positive from there's certainly no reason why you can't go on and win.
Yeah, but it's a two-sided coin, because if you are going to be positive, that's fine, you might go and get a good position in the race, but you are covering more ground than the ones that are drawn lower.
Yeah.
But that said, you're out there, you've got, over the mile and a half start, you've got room, but more importantly, to make that manoeuvre and get that position, you've got time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it gradually. You can use minimal gas to get that position. Now, I thought Kieran Schumacher, it was a good call, a brave call, and a very loyal call of Roger Charlton to use the lad, because it's a big meeting, it's a big race, it's big connections, obviously, it's Godolphin horse.
Yeah.
You know, fair play to everybody for sticking to their guns and using the kid, because he's a fantastic young rider with loads of potential. But Roger Charlton, he realised that.
Mm.
So I'm sure he put his foot down and said, look, my lad's going to ride this horse because he's up to the job.
Yeah.
And he was well up to it. But I thought it was a very good performance, Alex, because, yeah, he didn't get a complete freebie to go and get the fantastic position that he got.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an absolute given to him. So there was always that doubt, you know, and up to a mile and a half as well, what was going to be there at the business end. And there wasn't just enough there, there was a lot there.
Yeah.
You know, it was a hell of a performance and, you know, a cracking ride. But what a likeable horse.
Mm.
And look, I thought, like I mentioned earlier, Roger Charlton, that answer was fantastic, because he answered two questions in one. That, yeah, he's a very good horse, and but he isn't quite a group horse yet.
And could well be though.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But he answered two questions in one, and that was great, fantastic.
And it'd be certainly interesting to see where Atty Purse does go next. Right, we'll turn our attention to Tuesday's racing then. Unfortunately, no Ascot performers in this lineup or in any of these lineups that we are going to mention, but they're competitive in their own right. We'll start with the 330 from Beverly, a handicap over a mile and two. Seven runners set to go to post here. Not many of these are arriving in fantastic form, it has to be said, but there are some horses that are consistent enough, Paddy.
Yeah, I would have to agree with what you say there, but I am going to look at a horse from the yard we've just been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess which one?
Is it Mr. Carroll?
Yep.
The old boy.
Save the Bees.
Mm.
Fantastic old horse.
Mm.
Been around a long time. He holds no secrets from anybody, this boy. And although this is one track he's never actually won at, because, you know, it's a stiff old track, as everyone knows, and Save the Bees doesn't do things the easy way. He goes flat out from the front. But that run the last day just looked like it, because these old horses, Alex, once you're looking at them season in, season out, generally, mark-wise and performance-wise, even time of the year-wise, there's many, many horses you can set your watch by them.
Completely.
You know? And this chap in particular just looked like he was really on the way back, and he was just about cherry ripe last time. Good run. And his mark is 78, but Phil Dennis will take 5 off that. He knows him well. And Phil Dennis in particular, for a young lad, rides a very good race in the front also.
Yeah.
So, and Save the Bees has been won on in the past by some very inexperienced jockeys. So he's not he's an uncomplicated horse, should I say.
Mm.
He's a very, very tough front runner. The yard's going well. And this race tomorrow at Beverly will be his 83rd start. You know, he's been a great servant for Connections, and as I said, he's very reliable, and when his opportunity pops up, he won't duck the issue. And as long as he's not absolutely hassled in front, because like I said, it is a stiff track, and you need to get home and save a little bit. But when it comes down to the business end and there's a dog fight, he's one horse who won't shirk the issue.
Mm.
And like I said, Phil Dennis is a good little pilot from the front. He'll know this old horse. Yard's going well. And I think he's got a great chance tomorrow.
Okay. Save the Bees running off 78 tomorrow, which is his last winning mark as well. But obviously factor in Phil Dennis's claim as well. And Save the Bees may well have a decent squeak in that one. In fact, last time it won off 78, Phil Dennis was claiming 5 then.
There you go. So see what I mean by setting your watch by them?
Yeah, exactly. It's
unbelievable.
I've got the horse's form up here, and rating-wise, it is just, it creeps into the 80s, is disappointing for a few runs, drops back into the high 70s, and then there you go.
And then, you know, he can be placed off 79, but can't win off it.
Yeah.
Gets a 78. You're talking a pound.
Yeah.
A horse weighs 500 kilos, but it's a pound. And they drop in.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Save the Bees then in the 330 from Beverly. We'll stick at Beverly for the 530. This is a Go Racing in Yorkshire Future Stars Apprentice Handicap. There's some very inexperienced jockeys in this lineup. There's also some very talented jockeys in this lineup. Tricky race, obviously. Mm. You've got three horses arriving here with a penalty, which obviously means they're in good form, but doesn't make it any easier. And as I said, jockey wise, there are some here that you'd certainly want to see before you back, if that makes sense. There's also some that we know are supremely talented and are going to have a big feature in the game.
Yeah, it's a strong race of a competitive nature, I would say.
Yes.
Because Thatcherite was a winner at Wetherby last week. And he's been a good old boy, Thatcherite, down the years. I was second in the race and I thought I would win, but old Thatcherite, although he's 9, he's been competitive off higher marks in the past, but he was fairly strong to the line at Wetherby last week, albeit it wasn't a very strong race. There was only 10 runners as well. Also, the Stormtrooper arrived here on the back of a good run. Dapper Man, Archie Stevens was just chinned at Brighton the other evening. Minty Jones with Phil Dennis on board. It's lively. It's a lively race.
Mm.
But with 15 runners, the draw on quick ground is you can put a line through a few of them, because for me, if you're drawn any higher than 10 with that many runners on quick ground at Beverly, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. Very, very difficult. Just looking at the draws there. Look, Seamster last year, 16, but Seamster was a horse who...
I think that was during his purple patch.
Purple patch, yeah.
Yeah.
But That said as well, you see, it is an apprentice race, so it's going to depend. There could be masses of pace and too much, and really you could probably chuck the draw out the window, but we'll have to wait and see. But as a rule, generally, above 10, it takes a fair all effort, or the likes of a horse like Seamster and a Purple Patch to overcome it. But anyway, my selection was going to be the penalised horse, Foxy Boy. Mm-hmm. He had Dapper Man behind last time, and Dapper Man previous had been a very, very good winner up at Carlisle, and Foxy Boy put him in his place at Redcar last time. Doesn't mind a stiff track, to be honest, but obviously he's got a £6 penalty. It is a strong competitive race, but he's got a lovely draw in three, and Clifford Lee rides, who's very capable, and probably
still only had 11 runs as well.
Yeah, he is fairly low mileage, and probably the biggest factor for me is the Dodds team now are firing on all cylinders. Firing on all cylinders, and it's he's ticking plenty of the boxes, but this is a wide open race, and you know, albeit say I do fancy him, he's going to be a very backable price because Dapper Man's in there 5-1. Next in the betting, Foxy Boy, who beat him last time, is 11-2.
Yeah, so that's on the tissue price, and obviously we don't have access to the early prices right now as we're recording this around about 3 o'clock, but it is one of those races where whatever you're backing, you can back it each way, and you'd be very surprised if anything's going to go off shorter than 7-2, 4-1.
There's value to be had, you know, but there's no doubt there's going to be, you know, I've ridden Archie Stevens. He's drawn an 8. He's a quick little horse. So there's going to be stacks of pace here. Stormtrooper's a quick little chap. He'll go forward.
It is pretty difficult to rule any of them out, to be honest.
There's no shortage, but with 15 runners, you might need a little bit of luck. As you can see an awful lot around Beverley, you can see a lot of horses get trapped down the inside rail.
Yeah.
So, look, you won't have to bet big, because as I've said, with that many runners, there's going to be value to be had no matter where you go.
Okay. Foxy Boy, though, gets the nod in that 5:30. Yeah. We'll jump back in time for the 3:45 at Brighton, a Class 4 handicap here over 5. We know plenty about a lot of these. There's notably three of the more unexposed runners, the 3 3-year-olds at the bottom of the handicap, and then three grand old stages up at the top. Doesn't make it any easier, to be honest. Again, they've all got some kind of chance in this.
Yeah, I'd have said so. I mean, I was keenest on Mr. Pocket, but, you know, Automo's in there for Philip Hyde, a track of Philip Hyde does very, very well at, and old San Francisco Skips God knows how to win as well, but you know, he's 8 years old now, and we know plenty about him. But yeah, as I said, I was going to go for Mr. Pocket. He was a tissue price there, 5-2. He was slightly unlucky last time at Salisbury. Just, I won't say he wasn't badly hampered, but he didn't get the cleanest of runs through, but he was very, very strong to the line and seen it out quite well that day, and he just looked maybe a slightly unlucky loser. And to say he finished second, he went down fighting and lost nothing in the feet, really. And tomorrow he's well drawn, gets to race off the same mark of 81. He goes on quick ground, and probably the biggest benefit for me is he does actually stay 6 furlongs, this horse. So, you know, but he's got plenty of boot also, so no worry in the trip there, no worry ground wise Luke Morris on board. I think he's got plenty going for him there tomorrow.
You mentioned Luke Morris on board, of course, with a horse that does stay 6. Luke is certainly not backwards and coming forwards when it comes to rousting a horse along, and it could well be that the fact that the horse has proven stamina, maybe off the bridle early, but you'd imagine he'll be going all the way to the line. And although Brighton, on the face of it, you need to have enough pace to go early doors, it also pays to have that little bit of stamina saved up for the final couple of furlongs when you are going uphill.
Yeah, things are happening very quickly, quick track, quick ground, but like you say, there's no man, you know, for whatever it is, 120 quid riding fee. He earns it every day he goes out. To say he has 10,000 rides a year, he goes out and he earns every penny of that 120 each time he does it.
I think I'm right in saying on Friday, I think he rode at Ascot. I'm pretty sure he did. But he ended up at Ayr anyway, riding, I think, in the 8:45. Came home that night and was out riding out at God knows what time. For I can't remember if it was for Mark Prescott or whoever it was for. Can't have had much sleep off the back of all that.
No, exactly.
And got beaten at Ayr as well on a shorty. But absolutely hard-working jockey, and you know what you're getting with him, don't you? Yeah, quite simply.
Exactly.
The final race we're going to focus on is the 7 o'clock from Newton Abbot. Bit of a change of tack here, Paddy. It's a novice's hurdle over the extended 2 mile, 5 furlong trip. Now, summer jumping, we tend not to focus on too much on the racing podcast, but there's two really interesting horses in this. It looks like a match between Trevisani and old Harry Rocks for really respected connections. Paul Nichols trains one, Harry Fry the other. They're both penalised in this race, but that's because they're winning races, and that's no bad thing. Do you see it as a two-horse race?
Yeah, I mean, look, Guerrilla Tactics is next in the betting after that 8-1, but, I mean, there is literally, well, there's only a pound between them on rates, isn't there, but old Harry Rocks, I'm a big fan of Harry Fry. I think he's a fantastic young up-and-coming trainer. And he's got another nice recruit on his hands here. But I was in studio the day Trevisani won last time. It was over C&D, and a fantastic looking horse. Really was a fantastic looking horse, and was ridden by Briony Frost as well. Yeah. That was off a mark of 117. Now he's crept up to 1-2-3, but it doesn't matter because he's still in novice company. Yeah. And Briony rides again, so she's offsetting the penalty.
Yeah.
So he's an unpenalised novice hurdle winner in against old Harry Rocks tomorrow. And the fact that it's course and distance form on quick ground, and he went round Newton Abbott absolutely sweet as a nut the last time, was given a lovely patient ride, was nothing flash, but only did what was required, but was very, very likeable, and by the time the line came, was well on top. So for me, with the penalty offset and the fact that he showed his liking and he's able to handle the place, I think he is a cracking bet to go and follow up tomorrow. Certainly if they're going to put old Harry Rocks in ahead of him in the betting.
I was going to say, you'd imagine it'll be pretty tight. You'd imagine
it will be tight.
Maybe a pick 'em, but I'm with you, actually. I'm in the Trevisani camp, that if they are priced up around the same price, I'm more than happy to take the Nichols runner in a race like that. Obviously, a bit of a change of tack, this Newton Abbott contest, to what we have been talking about, but I think Trevisani could be one. And old Harry Rocks as well, to a point, but one of those horses that really does make hay over the summer. And you do see these horses for top yards, the ones that do stay out and about during the summer, racking up decent sequences through the course of the summer months. Right, Paddy, can you just spin us through your four selections for Tuesday's action?
Yep. The first two are Beverly. In the half three, we had Save the Bees for Declan Carroll and Phil Dennis. In the half five, we had in the Apprentice race, very trappy race to be honest, but a horse here in form, having won 4 days ago, so he's penalised tomorrow, Foxy Boy. The 3:45 at Brighton, we had the Luke Morris ridden Mr. Pocket, slightly unlucky at Salisbury last time, gets to go again tomorrow off the same mark. And then our final selection was in the 7 o'clock at Newton Abbott, the course and distance winner, Trevisani for Paul Nichols and Briony Frost, who offsets the penalty and does set a fair standard here. And I think if he goes off second favourite in that race tomorrow, I think he's reasonable value.
Yeah, great stuff then, Paddy. Best luck with your ride as well at Leicester.
Thank
in
you.
The 8:45 tomorrow. Make sure you join the guys on William Hill's Racing Radio throughout the course of Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you soon. Enjoy the racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.